My guest at this time is Stephen Moore of the Wall Street Journal. He is a longtime economic scholar, and he's also the founder of the Club for Growth, which you may know is very supportive of free market candidates in congressional and other elections. He joins us today to offer his analysis of some of the economic promises and statements made by President Obama in Tuesday's State of the Union address. And Steve, it's always great to have you with us.
Hey, great to be with you.
Well, there's a number of things that the president stressed economically, and that's really where he began the speech. First of all, he talked about the sequester and the law that he says Congress passed as part of the debt ceiling deal in 2011 that leads to all these arbitrary, harsh cuts. The Republicans, of course, counter by saying not only did he sign the bill, they contend it was his idea. The Republicans have offered changes to the sequester to make cuts in other ways to have the same amount of spending, but not as draconian as they see it to defense spending. The president says he wants the balanced approach of cuts and revenue enhancements. How do you expect this to play out?
Well, let me just correct one thing you said, where you said that the Republicans alleged that Barack Obama came up with the sequester idea. That's not alleged. That is a fact. The President Obama came up with this idea because he didn't think that Republicans would go along with the defense cuts and would therefore agree to a tax increase. And what happened was when the Republicans said, you know what, we can live with these cuts, then President Obama changed his stance, and now he wants to veto the very cuts that he himself created. And there's a kind of rich irony in that. And by the way, just last year he said he would veto any attempt to get rid of the sequester. Now he's saying veto, he wants to, keep the sequester in place. So, look, I think the major theme of this presidential address was, he started out the address by saying government isn't the solution to everything, and then he spent the next hour explaining that government is the solution to every problem, everything from, the global temperature to not enough jobs to not enough income to, building new high-speed rail and new manufacturing jobs. Everything can be solved by government, and it's a very liberal left-wing philosophy this president believes in. And of course, the Republicans, most of them at least, subscribe to a very different philosophy. So this is going to set up a lot of fights. And the one thing we learned, by the way, from this president last night is anyone, and myself included, who believe this president would move to the center after the election to get things done, we've learned just the opposite. He's moved extremely to the left.
That term balanced approach was something the president has used before. He used it again last night, but he also had something to say about what he sees as the progress in reducing our deficits to date. Here's what he said.
Over the last few years, both parties have worked together to reduce the deficit by more than $2.5 trillion, mostly through spending cuts, but also by raising tax rates on the wealthiest 1% of Americans. As a result, we are more than halfway towards the goal of $4 trillion in deficit reduction that economists say we need to stabilize our finances.
We still see large annual deficits, Steve. So is he talking about cuts in the future, which may or may not happen, cuts in increases in spending? How should people understand what he means by that?
Well, these are promised cuts that he and the Congress have quite promised to make in years, 2014 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18 and 19. And, the question I would ask is, Mr. President, if you're not willing to accept cuts that are supposed to happen now, who would believe that you're going to accept cuts that are going to happen in 2014, 15 and 16 and 17 and 18? So the answer to your question is no, there are no cuts. In fact, the president created this monster of Obamacare, which is going to blow another hole in the budget. We're nowhere near stabilizing our finances. The $2.5 trillion of cuts is, I think, a science fiction. And I think the real discouraging note of that talk is that he's not serious about getting serious about cutting those spending programs that need to happen to get this deficit down. According to the Congressional Budget Office, using realistic assumptions, we're going to continue to borrow $1 trillion year after year after year. That is the road to ruin. It's not a road to recovery.
When he talks about the balanced approach, he says we cannot cut our way to prosperity. Deficit reduction by itself is not an economic plan. He talked about closing loopholes for wealthier Americans. In the past, some Republicans have said they might be okay with that if we reduce marginal rates. What do you think the president has in mind when he talks about tax reform?
Yeah, well, I'm a huge proponent of tax reform. I've known you for a long time, at least 10 years, and I've talked about tax reform on this. I believe every business owner, every corporation. Most workers and tax filers in this country believe we need tax reform. It's a system that's very complicated. The tax rates are too high. Nobody can figure it out. It sends jobs abroad. There's nothing good to say about this current tax code. And yes, I'm in favor of closing loopholes, as I think John Boehner is and Mitch McConnell and most Republicans. But the idea of tax reform is to, you know, to close those loopholes and to lower tax rates to make the system more understandable, more efficient, and more pro-jobs. That's not what the president's talking about. He's talking about closing loopholes and using that money for more spending programs. And that is a perversion of the whole idea of a bipartisan approach to tax reform, which, by the way, his own, he's had three or four commissions in his first term that he appointed the people to. Wall said, let's get those corporate and business tax rates down. He has no interest in that.
As you mentioned, Steve, the president spent a lot of his speech talking about government programs or initiatives that he'd like to pursue and is urging Congress to go along with. Here's how he couched that as he began that laundry list.
Tonight I'll lay out additional proposals that are fully paid for and fully consistent with the budget framework both parties agreed to just 18 months ago. Let me repeat. Nothing I'm proposing tonight should increase our deficit by a single dime.
Steve, you said a moment ago the president doesn't seem serious about deficit reduction. Does he seem serious when he makes that claim?
I think that sounds like abracadabra budgeting to me. I mean, he proposed tens of billions of dollars of new spending programs, and Lord knows where he's going to get the money to pay for it. I mean, does he really think he can get all that money out of the top 1%? I mean, we just had the biggest tax increase in 50 years starting on January 1st with the increase in the capital gains tax, the dividend tax, the estate tax, the business tax. All those went up. I mean, we can't keep raising taxes to pay for all these playthings in the budget that President Obama wants to create. So the answer to your question is no, there's no offsets to this. It will increase the deficit. It'll make our government more efficient, more inefficient, and the debt, which is already $16 trillion, will grow even higher.
What's the opposition missing in the counter then? If the fact that Americans don't like spending, they don't like huge government, yet every time we see one of these showdowns, it seems like the president's got the upper hand on the public relations effort here, whether it's fiscal cliff, debt ceiling, or sequestration now looming. What's the problem for those who are trying to see things and move things in a different direction?
Well, the American people like Barack Obama. They voted for him narrowly in 2012. They want the president to succeed. We saw last night he's a good orator. He's a very charming person. So all of those things play to his advantage. The president always has an advantage in these fights because he has the bully pulpit, as he did last night. And Congress is scattershot. They're all over the place. So those are natural advantages. I think the problem that you just mentioned is that Republicans don't have a very good spokesman right now. They don't have a good leader, and they don't have a good messenger, and that muddies the message that Republicans are trying to deliver to the American people, which should be, look, we need way less government spending. We need tax reform and tax reduction to make the economy grow faster, and we got to bring this debt down. That should have been the message, and I think it really wasn't well delivered last night, although I was actually impressed with Rand Paul last night. I thought he gave a very good rebuttal to everything that President Obama talked about.
So in terms of the immediate debate before us, we talked a little bit about sequestration. In terms of additional revenues, Republicans seem to say after the fiscal cliff issues at the beginning of the year that they're done with tax increases. Do you think they'll hold that line?
Yeah, we should be cutting taxes, not raising them. I think our tax rates are way too high right now, so it's important to cut tax rates to grow the economy. The Republicans, I think, will be extinct. They will be an endangered species if they continue to raise taxes. They agreed to the tax increase on January 1st because they didn't have many other options. But I think if they were to cave in on higher taxes, there would be a third party created in this country that really believes in growth and the Reagan idea of low taxes and getting government spending under control.
Well, plenty of fiscal drama in the days and weeks ahead. Steve, always great to have you with us. Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you.
Stephen Moore of the Wall Street Journal. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.